الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic Studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes or keeping notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic Studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic Studies class. Today's topic is anger. A-N-G-U-R, anger. And it's something that perhaps all of us experience at some point. And keep in mind, anger is a feeling. Like when you steal something, it's not a feeling necessary that you're doing it. It's more kind of impulse kind of thing. But for anger, it comes from a feeling. And understanding when you get angry, and keep this in mind, a little bit ahead of myself, is that it is only temporary. Anger usually is not something that is permanent and going to be there forever. It's only temporary feeling. And I'm going to tell you some of the Islamic ways of getting rid of anger, how we deal with anger from an Islamic standpoint. So I'm going to basically define anger, the cause of anger, and Islamic position regarding anger. That's how this class basically is going to be. And one of the shorter definitions of anger is a strong feeling of annoyance, displeasure, or hostility. And some of the causes of anger, so it says situational, for example, is such as stress and frustration, meaning overwhelming situation. You're going to meet a certain deadline, so you become angry because you may not be able to meet that deadline. Or some of the challenges can lead you to feeling frustrated, or some level of frustration, which are manifest as anger. Plus, unfair treatment, feeling wronged, disrespected, treated unjustly can spark anger. And also feeling threatened, meaning perceiving a physical or emotional threat can trigger an anger response or angry response. Loss of control, meaning situations where someone feels powerless or unable to influence the outcome can lead to anger. These are just a few things maybe you never thought about before, that can lead to anger. It also can be a psychological and emotional factors, meaning underlying mental health conditions. Anger can be a symptom of a deeper issues like depression, anxiety, or PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. It could be past trauma, meaning unresolved experience of abuse, neglect, or bullying can contribute to anger issues. Unprocessed emotions. You can always listen to this particular episode again in case I'm going too fast with these factors. Unprocessed emotions, meaning suppressing or not adequately addressing negative emotions like sadness or fear can manifest as anger. Another factor can be environmental, meaning family dynamics, for example, for conflict of conflictual or dysfunctional family environments, can contribute to anger issues. Financial stress, meaning financial worries and instability, can be a symptom or a significant source of stress and anger. Social issues, meaning discrimination or societal injustice, can trigger anger. Also, another factor could be just current situation, such as stress. If you're feeling or if you're dealing with a lot of stress of other problems in your life right now, you might feel yourself, or you might find yourself feeling angry more easily than usual, or some type of bereavement. Someone died, for example, and so anger can be part of bereavement or grief. And the last one I want to mention here is discrimination or injustice, such as experiences of racism can make us feel angry or upsetting or worrying events. So these are just some of the things, some of the factors that might bring upon us anger or create anger in us. All the things that I mentioned to you can create this anger in us. We don't really understand what's going on. Unfair treatment, loss of control, could be PTSD, past trauma, or it could be family dynamics, financial stress, social issues, stress by itself, or discrimination and injustice, or bereavement. And that happens a lot because it's part of bereavement. People become angry. Someone dies, first you have denial, you deny it, you can't believe it, and also you may get kind of angry. Why this person left me? Or should it been me or not them? The different things you go through, the different stages of grief that a person goes through. Think about whatever grief you've been through. And you look through all those different levels, number one, number two, number three, and so forth, maybe four or five, and then they all make you angry. The bottom line that they end up making you angry. Now, how does Islam look at this thing called anger? And Allah says in chapter 3, verse 134, so you can turn to it now or change the page if you have the book open. And that's going to be chapter 3, verse 134. And Quran is a book that is required for this class. No other book is required for this class except for Quran. And you have the various translations of it in English or in Spanish could be French, Urdu, different languages. It could be translated, but the true Quran is in Arabic. But for right now, whatever your language is, then you may open your, if you know Arabic, that's even better. But if you have your translation in your particular Quran, it's in various languages, then follow along with me. And basically what it means in this particular chapter and verse in English is it says, who spends in the cause of Allah doing ease and hardship, and who restrain anger, and who pardon the people, and Allah loves the doers of good. So he talked about the doers of good. They're spending the cause of Allah in ease and in hardship. They restrain their anger. They pardon the people. Don't hold on to something for years and years and years over what a person done or said to you. But we restrain our anger. So the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, a man came to the Prophet and he said, O Messenger of Allah, give me advice that no one else can give me, that only you can give me. So what did the Messenger of Allah tell him? The Messenger of Allah, may peace be upon him, said, he said, do not get angry. And the man said, what other advice can you give me? And the Messenger of Allah repeated, do not get angry. And the man asked again, what other advice have you for me? The Messenger of Allah, may peace be upon him, he said, and repeated for a third time, do not get angry. This was the advice that the man was given by from the Prophet, may peace be upon him, gave him some advice that no one else can give him, and that only the Prophet can give him. And he said, what? All the things he could have told the man at that point, but he told the man, do not get angry. Also, it's mentioned that, and this is very important, that Abdullah, son of Umar, said, The pleasure of the Lord lies in the pleasure of the parents, and the anger of the Lord lies in the anger of the parents. So we see from this, my respected students, how important the parents are, and you making sure that you treat your parents well. And make sure you always treat your parents well, and those of you who are children, treat your parents well. And when you become a parent, prayerfully, you would teach your children to also to teach you well. And to generation to generation, just teaching that same thing. Teach your parents well. And the anger of Allah lies with the anger of the parents. And pray Allah that the parents does not get angry at you, because also you will be angering Allah. It's also narrated that one of two men curse the other next to the Prophet, peace be upon him, until anger could be recognized on the face of one of them. So the Prophet, may peace be upon him, said, verily, I know a statement that if you were to say it, his anger would leave. I seek refuge in Allah from Shaitan. So here, my beautiful students, you want to get rid of anger? You say, A'udhu billah min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. And so you're saying, I seek refuge in Allah from Shaitan, the rejecter, or rejected. So you want to get rid of angry, or being angered at someone, or being angry at someone, then you say, A'udhu billah min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. And you say, I seek refuge in Allah from Shaitan, the rejecter. The Shaitan rejected Allah, unless Allah said, bow down to Adam, and he refused to bow down to Adam because he thought that he was better than Adam. Shaitan said, I'm made out of smokeless fire, and he's only made out of clay or dirt. I'm better than him. I'm not bowing down to him. So in his anger, arrogance, he rejected what Allah commanded him to do. Everyone bowed down except for him. And so he is rejected of Allah, rejected of Allah. And so we don't want Shaitan to bother our life, be in our life, and influence our life. And so when we get angry, we seek refuge in Allah from Shaitan, the rejecter. Also, Abu Hurairah, who is one of the companions of the Prophet, he said, Allah's messenger, may peace be upon him, said, the strong is not the one who overcomes the people by his strength, but the strong is the one who controls himself while angry. So you want to be the strong one. When it's kawi, the one that is strong, then control your anger. When someone makes you angry, then control your anger. That is a strong individual. So you want to be the strong individual, and someone's bothering you, they say something to you, they're getting under your skin, annoying you, and then you say what I mentioned before, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, and you want to be the strong one, then that's the one that controls his anger, and you ask Allah to help you to control your anger. And so maybe a lot of us before the particular class, you might get angry at everything. And anyone makes you angry. So it's not a good thing to be in, not a good place to be. And so what you do, you seek refuge in Allah from Shaitan, the rejecter. are rejected, and you be the strong one and control your anger. Now, I'm not going to necessarily mention it here, but when a person get angry, then they sit down. I may mention it, but we'll see. Then they sit down if they're standing, and if they're sitting, then they lay down until their anger leaves them. So let me move on, my beautiful students. It was related by Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, said, when Allah had finished his creation, he wrote over his throne, "My mercy supersedes my anger." In other words, Allah Ta'ala, he's saying, look, I have more mercy, and it supersedes, it's over my anger. So alhamdulillah, it's a beautiful thing. And understand the mercy of Allah, it comes in 100 portions. And we gave one portion to mankind. And then the rest of it was for himself. The other 99 was for himself. Just thinking, one of these mercies lasts for all of mankind. From Adam until the last man is enough for all of mankind. Another 99 Allah kept to himself. Let me move on. And it says, and one of Sahaba, he said, while I was sitting in the company of the Prophet, peace be upon him, two men abused each other, and the face of one of them became red with anger, and his jugular vein swelled, i.e. became furious. On that, the Prophet said, I know a word, the saying of which will cause him to relax, if he does say it. If he says, I seek refuge with Allah from Satan, his anger will go away. So someone said to him, the Prophet Allah said, seek refuge with Allah from Shaitan. The angry man said, I am mad. So did the man say it or not? Allah knows best. And saying, I am mad, is no excuse. The Prophet makes a suggestion, say, seek refuge in Allah, and I am mad. I'm not going to say that, something like that. I don't know the reason the man said, I am mad. But being mad is no excuse not following what the Prophet suggested us to do. So that is the way of Islam and what Muslims are to do. And we're suggesting also that you who are not Muslim, say it. Say, I seek refuge in Allah, a protection from Allah, from Shaitan, and reject it. And perhaps Allah will also protect you from your anger and get rid of your anger for you. Or if you're angry at someone or something about something, then sit down. Your anger's still there, then lay down. Some say that you should even wash your face or wet yourself, because anger is like fire. And when you wet yourself, it sort of puts out the fire. And have you ever seen yourself in the mirror when you become angry? Your whole face changes. It's like another face. Or have someone take a picture of you when you're angry. Or look in the mirror when you're angry. You have one look when you're not angry, and another look when you're angry. It is not a very pleasant look. Look for yourself. See for yourself of what I'm talking about. It's also mentioned that the Prophet, peace upon him, said, if one restrains his anger, Allah will keep his punishment from him on the day of resurrection. Let me say that one again. If one restrained his anger, Allah will keep his punishment from him on a day of resurrection. Just for restraining one's anger, Allah keeps back Allah's punishment from the individual on a day of resurrection, on a day of judgment. Restrain that anger. Just, that's a beautiful thing that Allah, you restraining the anger that you're feeling right now, and that Allah will what? Allah will do what on the day when he will keep his punishment from you? On a day of judgment, day of resurrection, because you restrained your anger. You want to get mad at that person. The person done something to you that, man, I got to do something to this person. Cuss them out or something. hit them or whatever it is. But Allah said, restrain your anger. He said, restrain your anger. And Allah restrained his punishment to you on the day of judgment. It was also mentioned that a man, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, a man may speak a word of that angers Allah and not see anything wrong with it, but it will cause him to sink down in hell the death of 70 autumns. I'm thinking this to me, I think autumn comes once a year, so we're talking about 70, like 70 years, the death of 70 years, it would keep the person away from, or make the person go into hell 70 years worth, just because they became angry. No one wants to go any place near the hellfire. But if you're angry and you show your anger, and then that individual, I need to hold it back, or they will go deep and deep and deep to the hellfire. And what I'm getting from this is 70 years worth of death into the hellfire. No one should want that. Also, it was narrated that the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, verily, Allah the Exalted becomes angry, and his anger is provoked when a person does what Allah has declared unlawful. So in other words, when you do something Allah says don't do, then you're invoking Allah's anger. So do what Allah says. Allah says go up, don't go down, because you're invoking Allah's anger. Allah says go right, don't go left, because you're invoking Allah's anger. You steal things from people, you're invoking Allah's anger. You fornicate, you drink, you get high. All these things that you do, you beat people up, you rob people. You do all these things invoking Allah's anger. And no one wants to invoke the anger of Allah. So I just want to mention these things to you from the Islamic perspective regarding anger. So I hope my students taking what I'm saying, listen to this particular episode again, and hopefully you will learn from it the definition of anger, what causes anger, and then the Islamic perspective regarding anger. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.